Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wish we had snow like Cleveland in my neighborhood just because it would be so great for the weekend. So, yeah, jealous of you guys. I had some family members showing their first snow pictures online on social media or sending me text messages. So, yeah, you guys are cool there in Cleveland. I'm definitely jealous. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. And I do want to say thank you so much for responding after what was an emotional conversation with a mama on our last show. If you missed it, Melissa Hill, she joined us in the final hour Thursday morning. And she's the daughter of someone that you know well. He's been on the show a bunch. If you're a frequent listener, then you know the name Mark Singleton, or you know the pork rinds guy, and that's who he is. They've been sponsoring my show and have partnered with me even to take us to the Super Bowl in Vegas earlier this year. Mark is more than just the pork rinds guy. He's also a grandfather, and his youngest grandson, Melissa's little boy, Archer, was diagnosed with a rare form of pediatric brain cancer, I think October of 23, and he passed away in April. And I can't even imagine that kind of grief. But the reason that I invited Melissa on the show is because she and her family are now honoring Archie's memory and are keeping that inspiration alive by starting a foundation that will assist other families who are in a similar position that as hers. And the fact that this was a terminal diagnosis and families will do anything to try to help out their kiddos. They'll quit their jobs. They'll move. They'll go wherever the clinical trials are. They have to travel. And it can really be such a drain on them, not just emotionally and mentally, but also financially. But you can imagine if it was your child or someone that you loved, you would want to go to the ends of the earth to try to do whatever you could to get the treatment. There is no real effective treatment and no cure for this rare form of pediatric brain cancer, and it usually does affect kiddos. And so the fact that Melissa and her family are not going to let Archie's memory die. They're going to honor him with this foundation to assist other families. They're determined to partner with other families and help them walk this road that can be so difficult and so challenging and so painful. And Melissa did such an incredible job telling us about her little boy. Many of you reached out to me and said you had tears in your eyes. In fact, Mark reached out to me. He was awake listening to our conversation. He said that we made him cry. I know I had tears in my eyes when I was talking to Melissa. I did share the website for the Archer Foundation as well as the link to our conversation. So again, got such a great reaction. If you missed it, I hope that you'll check it out. It just takes a few minutes, but it's on my Twix, A-Law Radio. In fact, I'm going to retweet it now just so you can see Archie's little photo, and you can also get the link to the podcast And on our Facebook page, too, I shared the website address. So you can find it there in case you're interested and want to know more. But this is such a, it's such a powerful story. And Archie had such a, an incredible impact on so many people, even as young as he was. And then we got the story of how he went to practice and was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys for a day. That was pretty amazing. He stepped right into that role. Step aside Mike McCarthy. Archie is here. And so I hope that you'll check it out. But I do appreciate that so many of you responded after hearing Melissa on the show with us on Thursday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. Again, A-Law Radio. And then our Facebook page, we have decided that we're going to have an open discussion here about the games of the week in the NFL, the schedule, because we want to get our poll up before too much longer. So producer Pete and
hi,
we're going to throw out, oh, you didn't tell me yet. How do the kids like the cookies?
Oh, it was very well received.
Okay, good. I know what you said, the kids will eat anything that's sugary, but I hope they remember these cookies in particular.
Yes, they said they were really good. They thought it was from because they're used to a certain location around the area that makes the, you know,
the cookies,
cookies and
baked
stuff.
Goods.
They say, oh, it's from there, and like, no, it was from Amy. Like, oh, wow.
So, okay, yeah. Make sure you tell them there's more coming for Christmas.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank
you. Of course. No, that's what I do. This is how I bake, to give people gifts so that they remember me. Okay, so glad the kids liked the cookies. That makes me happy. I'm thinking, it's almost like we're drafting here. I will draft Minnesota at Chicago for the NFL Game of the Week poll.
I would agree with that. I also think that the Eagles and the Rams is going to be something to focus on, especially.
That's Monday night, right?
Yeah. Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday night. Excuse
yeah.
me. Okay. So Eagles and Rams. I think the Rams have got to get their rears in gear here because they're at 5-5. The rest of the NFC West, other than the Cardinals, are also 5-5. So there is an opportunity here. And the Eagles, well, we understand what's at stake for them, too, just the way that they have. They've come on, right? They found their identity with Jalen Hurts and with Saquon Barkley, of course. The run game is terrific. They've won six in a row, and people will point to their schedule and say it's not all that difficult. They've really been beating up on cream puffs. Now, I would disagree with that. There are no cream puffs in the NFL. Just watch what happened with the Steelers and the Browns tonight. But their signature win, at least in this run of games, has got to be that victory over the Commanders. And before that, it was on the road at Dallas. Right, so they do have a couple of wins, I think, that indicate who they are now as a team. And people are still pointing to Nick Sirianni on the hot seat, but I say no way. If they continue on this trajectory, they make the playoffs, I think that they're on to something and they're back to being a solid football team. You know who they want to be from week in to week out. So I would agree with the Eagles with a lot to lose or win. What we'll say it that way. A lot to gain on the road at the Rams. So that's Sunday night.
Then I think that there's four games that we could pick two from. You got the Lions and the Colts. You have the Cardinals and the Seahawks. You have the 49ers and the Packers. And then Monday night, Ravens-Chargers.
Well, Ravens-Chargers I agree with, because the Chargers are a team now that's sitting on, what, the seven wins? They're just two games back of the Chiefs in the AFC West. Now, the Chiefs play Carolina this weekend, so there's a good chance. I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion, but there's a good chance they get to 10 wins. Lions, same thing. So both those teams now are sitting on 9 wins, as are the Buffalo Bills. And so the Chiefs, if they get this win, the Chargers are going to want to keep pace, and they are hosting on Monday night against the Ravens, who are in desperate need of a win, I think. So this is a bang-bang couple of games in a row for the Ravens, going from Steelers to now Chargers. So I'd agree with that one. What about San Francisco-Green Bay?
I think that's always a good choice. That's always a prime game whenever they're playing. Even if the teams weren't good, it's always a prime game.
Right, so the only thing about this one, and I'm a little bit nervous, a little bit concerned, is that Brock Purdy is considered day-to-day right now. There's some rumblings that he may not actually be able to play against the Packers this weekend. We know that George Kittle has sworn he will be on the field, so that's good news. But Purdy has some soreness in his throwing shoulder, and he was limited in practice again on Thursday. I guess he's just done some light throwing, went into the weight room, didn't get back to practice while reporters were still there. So we don't know what happened after reporters were kicked out of practice. They're only allowed to observe for a short time. But he wasn't there for his Thursday afternoon press conference, so he didn't speak to the media. Kyle Shanahan told our affiliate in the Bay Area, KNBR, that Purdy is getting better. And so Wednesday to Thursday, there was progress, but they're not sure he's going to play against Green Bay. Now, maybe that's gamesmanship. Maybe that's just what Shanahan is saying. And there's no way that Purdy's going to miss that game. But Shanahan was saying that this is not his normal workload, and that he's still limited. So that actually changes the game a lot.
Yeah, it does. But I think it's a game for the Packers that they need to win. I think a need to win game. Look, that division is tough, and they need to really rack off W's against teams that could possibly be competing in the playoffs.
Well, I think you'd have to say it's a must-win for the Niners as well, considering right now they are 1-3 in their own division. So they've got the worst record inside the NFC West, and their basement of that division. Now, they're all 5-5 except for the Cardinals. We're going to talk about the Cardinals at the top of next hour with our friend Tyler Drake when he joins us from sunny, well, it's probably dark now, but from warm Arizona. And we'll get the lay of the land with a team that's flying under the radar, but I would say it's just as much of a must win for the Niners, if not more so. All right, so I'm going, let's see, I'll give you my four. I'll go Niners, Packers, Eagles, Rams, Vikings, Bears. Now, do we go Lions, Colts, or do we go Ravens? I think we go Ravens, Chargers.
Yes.
I guess the one I would kick out, if we're going to go Lions, Colts, it would be Eagles, Rams. But yeah. I think Ravens Chargers has to be in there.
For some reason, the Colts don't do it for me.
They don't. They can be gritty. It's a roller coaster ride with Anthony Richardson. But when they hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor, the defense has been good. I mean, they can pose more of a challenge. They're tough. They're physical. I'll probably watch the Lions railroad them, but that's because the Lions are that much better than a lot of teams. But all right, if you don't think they'll pose much resistance, then let's go with the two LA teams who are hosting. So Ravens, Chargers, Eagles, Rams, Niners, Packers. Look at us with the West Coast flavor, baby.
That's right. We love our West Coast people.
And then the last one, the first one would be Vikings, Bears.
I think that's a good sound choice.
Does that mean, I like this. Seriously, this is going to debunk the myth. Any myth at all that we are East Coast bias here on the show. I work very hard to convince you that that is not the case. None of our home teams in our Game of the Week poll will be in the Eastern time zone.
Good.
How about that?
Good.
Boom, baby.
We cover it all. And,
of course.
And don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
No, please. I would get bored if all I could talk about was East Coast teams, especially when you're thinking about New York and how bad they are. So no, thank you.
I get bored living on the East Coast.
Do you?
Well, no.
I actually like the East Coast because of all the seasons. The four seasons are my favorite.
I actually, if we had a choice and there was no extenuating circumstances or whatnot, and we could move to any place,
really?
I'd move out west because it's the clock. When I was out in Vegas, the one time I was out in Vegas, the West Coast time I love.
Well, it's easier when you work these hours because yes. You start at 11 p.m. on the West Coast. So I tell friends on the West Coast that I stay on their time. I don't think about it as East Coast time, which is why when I come in the building, it's night. It's still the nighttime, of course. Okay, we'll get that poll up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. I'll throw it up on our Facebook page as well. I have to offer a mea culpa. I feel badly, but this happens often. I wish I was better at this. It's one of those challenges that I'm still working toward. Even 20 plus years in the business, I still do this. I get excited. I tease different topics on the show that I fully intend to get to. And then a lot of these shows take on a life of their own or lives of their own, I would say. We have 9 lives here on the show. On our last show, we were talking about the most effective and least effective owners in sports. And then we somehow diverted into a debate about Mike Tomlin, which is great. But what happened was I didn't get to everything that I teased. For instance, I wanted to talk about college football on our last show and didn't get to that. Then I wanted to talk about, well, I wanted to give you guys some updates because I keep getting questions about the neighbor's obnoxious, intrusive light. And so I didn't have a chance. Pete, get this. This is how loyal some of our listeners are and how much they care about what happens to us away from the studio. I had promised, well, I didn't promise, but I did say, my word should be a promise, that I had an update on the light situation, that I needed to work it into the conversation. And when I didn't get to it, I had people that wrote to me and said, hey, I listened to the entire podcast. I didn't hear it. Where was it? Did you give the update on the light? So I feel, yeah, I feel bad about that.
They like the drama. That's it.
Thank you. Or I think people just relate. They like that they can relate.
That too.
Yeah. So I am very sorry that I didn't get to the update on the light. For those of you who are interested in how obnoxious and intrusive the neighbor's light has become, well, it's, yeah, essentially there's no update in terms of relief from the light. However, there is this update. After getting the town involved, and we knew this was going to happen, we knew it was going to happen that as soon as the neighbor received the notice from the town indicating that he had to put a cover or a barrier on the light, so that's what the town told him. Have as much light as you want, but you have to cover it and point it into your own yard, or you have to put a barrier up so that it does not shine into your neighbor's yard. That's the point. So instead of acknowledging and trying to fix that and to rectify the situation, we knew this is going to happen. The guy was going to go up to the town and complain and say, oh, no, it's not as bad as what they say it is, blah, blah, blah. So do you know what the dude told the guy in the town building department? He told him, we changed the bulb. It's a bulb with less wattage now. It's not shining nearly as brightly. It's BS. It is B freaking S. Nothing has changed about the light at all. So he apparently went to the town earlier in the week. He lied about the fact that he changed the bulb. And then the building inspector, it's the same guy, Joe. It's Joe. We love Joe. Joe and my husband are now BFFs. In fact, I don't even bother with Joe because he talks to my husband.
Hi, Joe.
So Joe showed up to do the final inspection on the little laundry room that we built on the back of our house. Thank goodness it passed final inspection, though we still have issues, of course, to work out. But it did pass its final inspection. And when he got done, Joe said, so what's up with the light? Well, nothing. My husband says nothing is up with the light. It's the same. It's still shining as brightly as ever. And Joe says, oh, because the guy showed up in my office and told me that he changed the light bulb and it's not nearly as bright anymore. And my husband rolled his eyes and said, nothing has changed. It's the exact same. And we know we've not seen the guy out there, right? He's not gotten up on his ladder and changed the light. Now the light comes on at 4:30 in the afternoon and it's on until after 7 o'clock in the morning because it's a dusk to dawn light. And I've mentioned this before, Pete, they leave on the weekend and the light's on all weekend long. They're not even home and the light is on all weekend long. And so nothing's changed. This is what Joe told my husband. He said, I told him he had to put a barrier up. So we will bring it up. We'll put it on the agenda for the next planning meeting. And if he doesn't respond and if he hasn't fixed anything by the next planning meeting, which I fear, Pete, that you are correct, they probably in a small town like the one in which I live, they probably have one planning board meeting a month. They can't do anything without getting it on the agenda. So that it's official. It's official town business. So we have to wait until next month and the planning board meeting until they can put it on the agenda again. And then because of the holidays, they'll issue another notice. But no doubt these building department and town offices will close for different portions of the holidays. Unfortunately, we have to wait until it goes through the proper channels again before a second notice can be issued to the neighbor because the neighbor is not going to do jack until he's forced to. And even with a second notice, he could decide he's not going to do it. So the thing is, Joe and the town people, the townspeople, the YMCA people, just kidding. The townspeople have to come out and look themselves. So that's what they do. They put it on the agenda and then they send someone out to look. And Joe did admit it was obnoxious. I mean, he said that's the wrong kind of light. He's not supposed to have it, period. And so what they have to do is put it on the agenda so that they can send another group of people. It's a group. It's a group that yep. comes out to look at this light. Here's the funny part. And I don't mean funny, haha. I mean funny as in ironic. Right after the neighbor tried to convince our neighbor, I'm sorry, the neighbor tried to convince our inspector that he had changed the light bulb. That night, I'm walking out the door to come to work. The light is reflecting. My husband's truck is white, and it's parked at just the perfect spot in front of the house. The light is reflecting off his truck and bouncing back to our front door. I mean, it's so incredibly intrusive. Every part of our yard, our front yard, our backyard, because the reflections, our new room. I mean, it's. I can't believe that this dude is so self-absorbed that he doesn't care that this light is affecting anybody else around him.
And now he's going to milk the clock because he has the time to.
Yeah, I don't think that he is in any way going to change his light or change his approach until he is forced to.
If he does, it'll be in February when he's forced to.
I mean, you are such a barrel of good news.
No, I'm just saying. It's horrible.
It's not going to be February. It's going to be December.
I hope not.
And then another notice will go out, and by January, he will be forced to do something.
Good.
They will either fine him. Now, I know because I once refused to acknowledge. I was angry about the fact that they were charging me for a dog license. All of a sudden, they just start charging for dogs. They'd never done it before. And so they send me this notice telling me I have to get a license for Penny. This is when I had Penny. And then they tell me that if her rabies vaccination expires within 6 months, I have to get a new one. I didn't have the money to go get her a new rabies vaccine before it expired. And so I wrote a note. I wrote the check. I wrote a note and I said, hi, her rabies vaccine expires in April. I'll send you the proof, I guess, the what's that called?
The document.
The document. Thank you. That shows that she's been vaccinated. And he sends the money and the note back and is like, nope, we need you to do it now. And you're going to get fined every month that goes by that you don't have the license. So he better be doing that to the neighbor as well. It's the same dude, by the way. Better be doing that to the neighbor as well.
I would hope so, too. Yeah,
of course. Of course. He's going to lying poo. He's going to pretend like he changed the light bulb. That is it's a lie. That's what it is. It's flat out.
He's playing the system. That's how it is. But hopefully there's some resolution. I think we're getting to the point where there has to be a resolution some point. Yes.
In the meanwhile, we have light pollution and tough to sleep. We've got neighbors who will affect our Thanksgiving meal because we've got people coming who are visiting and staying in the spare room. Ugh, just so.
Now there's one thing you could do. I would get a big speaker. And I would play at night random dog noises.
Like barking?
Loud, very loud.
But see, then it affects my other neighbors.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got neighbors on all sides of me.
But then you could say, hey, look, it's not my dog. My dogs are in the house.
Nah, see, I don't want to do that. Although I am considering the BB gun method because the neighbors are gone all weekend. And the light is on while they're gone, right?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And here's what I figured out, Pete. A Ring doorbell camera or a camera of any sort is not going to catch a BB. It can't pick up a BB. And so the light will be on and then it'll be off. Because if we can get a direct hit with the BB, the camera will never catch it. Now, we'd have to put some type of a silencer on the BB gun. Is that a thing? Can you put a silencer on a BB gun? A pellet gun? Can you put a silencer on a pellet gun?
I have not used BB guns, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either. I guess that would be the next step, because if you give yourself away with this loud clap, and then right after that the light breaks, I think people would be able to figure out pretty quickly what we had done.
Why don't you ask your neighbor?
No, we're not speaking. In fact, we haven't seen them. I mean, that's the funny part, is that all of a sudden we don't even see them anymore. I mean, not funny at all. Actually, very distressing. I just can't get over the fact that the guy just won't get up there and change the light. No, he's going to wait. He's going to wait until he's absolutely forced to. It's self-absorbed sad. It's jerk.
Real sad.
Yeah, and I don't even call people names, but it's just, I can't believe that some people care only about themselves and not at all about people who kindly ask them to take into consideration that we have a hard time sleeping and everything else. But thank you for all your suggestions. I've heard from so many of you. Some of you, I think, just enjoy the drama. In fact, some of you out there are probably people who put on these lights and don't turn them off. And you wonder, huh, well, I'm getting it from the other perspective.
Well, I keep lights on in the backyard at night, but they're outdoor lights. It's not like
it's a security light.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not, I mean, all he has to do is put a floodlight up. We have a floodlight. Floodlights are made for this purpose, so that you can flood your own yard and not everyone else's yard. Nope, he won't change it. Stubborn. Okay,
happy holidays.
Change the subject, right? I'm going to change the subject because I'll get too upset. Coming up, a really fantastic finish to an NBA game that you don't want to miss. Also, we've got the poll up for After Hours Game of the Week. So it's on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. I just retweeted. I'll throw it up on our Facebook page as well. There is. So I'm employing Pete's method to his madness, where he's told me bad news first. So that was the bad news about the light. There is good news, though, in our household, and I'll share that with you as well. We are chugging our way through the night to a Friday. Oh, I need a Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Suggs for three. No good. Huge rebound here, and LeBron got it. LeBron, length of the court pass to AD. Slam dunk! Timeout, Orlando! A beautiful length of the court pass from LeBron to AD. Looked like Patrick Mahomes. And just threw a 75-foot pass for a dunk.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you're a Lakers fan, that was a banner moment, one of those that you capture on the highlight reel, except the game did not end there. Now, it felt like they had got the leg up on Orlando, especially with the momentum the Lakers have had over the past week and a half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So you got this little bit of a cushion there in the late stages of the game, but Anthony Davis misses two free throws with about 19 seconds to go, and that opens up the door for the Magic with a few seconds left on the clock.
Magic going to have a shot to tie or win it. Franz backs away. Now Redditch. Wagner step back. Three ball is up. It's in! Franz stuck it! 119-118. 2.5 seconds on the clock. Timeout Lakers. They're going to have a look. Maybe the biggest shot of Franz Wagner's career. And Crypto.com Arena is stunned.
It is the Magic, so you wouldn't expect something like that. But this Magic team has won 7 of 8, and Wagner with 15 of his 37 points in the fourth quarter also chips in double-digit assists. Now, there were still a couple ticks left for the Lakers.
Reeves inbounded, and he's backing way up. They've got AB defending the ball, this Coach Mosley. And here we go. The inbound to Davis. He'll try the fadeaway jumper. No good. Magic win. What a dub. 119-118 the final score. And they are squeezing the life out of Franz Wagner right now. Orlando goes in. They end the six-game winning streak for the Lakers. They end them their first loss on their home floor.
So Franz has 37 points. Mo Wagner has a season-high 19. Anthony Davis, he nearly has 40. But people will likely instead be talking about his two missed free throws with 19 seconds left, and then the fact that he misses that jumper at the buzzer. And here are the Magic, who are missing more than half their starting lineup as well and are playing their third game in four nights. But this is pro sports, and you never really know how it's going to go because all of these guys at any given moment, they can look like superstars. Now, the actual superstars are the ones who do it consistently on a night-in and night-out basis, but what a three to spare the Magic and to give them this signature win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. L.A. losing at home for the first time in eight games, and Wagner will take it.
Down two. Never just want to settle for a shot, I think, but you know the way they were playing me, I do work on my off-the-dribble three a lot, and you know, you work on that for those moments. So, I stepped into it with confidence, and it felt really good.
On the Magic Radio Network, you can hear they're excited about it. You can take our poll for Game of the Week, and coming up, we're going to get to a little round of Mama Said Knock You Out. We actually, there's something else we didn't get to on our last edition of the show, but it's flexible. Pete's flexible. We're all flexible. Want to give us a taste, Pete? Just one for the peeps to consider. Like a little whet your appetite type of a tease.
Hang on.
Marco's here in studio. Marco, my stomach's growling. You got any snacks?
I don't, actually. I'm sorry. Unfortunate. No, I don't.
I have goldfish. Yeah. Would you like some of those?
No,
I feel like
I'm
those
would
be kind of crunchy on the air, though.
Might be. Might have to do that in breaks. Cough button.
By the way, now someone's suggesting forget BB gun, get a slingshot. So the neighbor's light is still obnoxious. I know you weren't here in studio a minute ago, but the neighbor's light is still intrusive as ever. He lied to the guy in the town offices and said he changed the bulb so it's not nearly as bright. Big fat liar. Big fat fibber. Right? So anyway.
I forget if I had. Did you do the blackout shades?
No, that's not the point.
I understand that.
That's
I'm
not
asking
the point.
You a question that's
no,
separate from
didn't.
That. I'm
we
asking.
Didn't. We did not do anything blackout. It's his issue, not ours. And it's not just our bedroom. We have a spare bedroom where we've got people staying over Thanksgiving. The light's shining in our skylight in our bathroom. We got a brand new room in the back of our house, and it's nothing but this eerie white light because it's all windows. It's supposed to be our little sunroom, mudroom, and now it's completely lit up by this stupid light next door.
Okay, I realize this is sensitive for you, but I wasn't trying to put finger on nerve. I was asking a simple question.
No, we're not doing that. We're not spending money to cover his light that shouldn't be shining.
All right. I was also asking, because you also work at nighttime and during the day, have you done the blackout to be able to avoid the sun, not just the big giant
we
light
have
the next door?
Two sets of curtains and blinds,
okay.
And that works fine during the day.
All
but
right.
At night, when this obnoxious security light is shining, it actually still casts shadows in our bedroom. So, but it's not again. It's not just that. It's every light, every room in the back of our house is lit up. Well, I'm glad you think it's funny.
I was unaware that I was touching such a nerve.
Because you're not listening. I've been pretty upset about this for a couple months now.
I know. I didn't realize a simple question would set you off into a tangent. Now I know. I'm aware.
No, a tangent would be a completely different topic.
Wow. Sure. I really pissed you off, huh? And now we're going to do
it. I don't think it's funny. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, the show is called After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the fact that you would come in here and say something and then laugh at me when I...
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm a little unnerved by that.
Okay, a little on edge.
Time you're going through something at home, I'll be sure to not bring it up.
Go ahead. That's
no,
fine.
No,
it's okay. It's
nope,
all right.
Not playing the same game.
All right.
Just hope that you understand that it feels like you're
I
picking
do.
And
I
poking
get,
at
I,
me on purpose.
I really wasn't trying to do that. I was asking a simple question because I know that has annoyed you, but I was going side track of the idea of, I wonder if it's going through the black shades because, again, you work it. I have them. I work at night. During the day, the sun is difficult to sleep. The blackout helps. So I thought, I wonder if you have it. So I was asking a question. I didn't realize that was going to turn into what it turned into. I was being genuine. I was asking a question.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I was curious if the light actually went through the blackout shades. Because then it's really, I mean, ridiculously obtrusive. That's
the light shines through two sets of curtains and blinds. And still
which is bad enough.
It still is casting shadows. And I guess the reason I react that way is because the neighbor also said, well, just get blackout shades. As if your light's okay, even though it violates the town ordinance and intrusive, you go ahead and spend the money on your blackout shades, is what he said.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yes, yes, it is. All right, so Pete, let's make this a question, a knockout that's not a choice between light or dark. How about that?
Right. Dark or dark?
Dark or dark? Yeah. Snow or rain? What do you prefer, Marco?
Rain.
Really?
Here's the thing.
Oh, I love snow.
Am I driving or am I home?
Oh, no, you're home with your kids.
Snow.
Snow.
Home, Pete, hanging out? No problem.
Pete, what if you're home with your kiddos? Snow?
Okay.
Okay. The kids like snow.
They do.
Dogs like snow.
They do.
They do.
I don't. I can't stand it. Despise it.
If I'm not driving in it and I'm playing with the kids, or we're going to do the snowman, even the shoveling, as long as it's not ridiculous,
exercise.
I don't mind that. And they're playing and I'm shoveling, I'm cool. It's when you're driving in like 20 inches of snow and you can't get 5 feet. That's
so
rough.
So good. The last time that we had that kind of snow, it was the winter of 21. It was Super Bowl week in my neighborhood. I'm not sure what you guys had. I know you also live in Jersey. Mm-hmm. We had 2 feet of snow. Well, we had just shy of 2 feet of snow, but then it snowed 9 days in a row. 9 days in a row. That was glorious. I could have stayed in my snow globe forever. I'll take cold over heat any day.
I'm with you on that. I don't remember that. I'm sure I went through it. I don't remember it at all.
The boss actually said to me, come in, get equipment, go home and do your show from home.
That must have been when we were still home. That's probably why I don't remember.
It was early 21.
I would imagine that was what it was. I do remember sleeping here for 3 straight days with one of the 24 inches of snow. That was tremendous.
Yeah, we've had that happen before, too.
Yeah.
Remember when we first started the network, though, the network would take care of us and they would give us hotel rooms. So I remember a couple of times in like a big blizzard walking down the center of a street in lower Manhattan to get to work from the hotel.
They took care of you.
You didn't get a hotel?
You know what I got? The one snowstorm that actually closed.
I touched a nerve.
No. This is I'll tell this story. The snowstorm that actually shut down New York. You couldn't get in and out. All the tunnels were shut. The bridge was shut. New York was shut down.
It was great.
I was here. Knew I wasn't going to be able to leave when the snowstorm came. I got a call and said, "You're allowed to get a room. You pay for it. We'll reimburse. Uh-huh. You're sharing it with 4 other guys."
What?
So what we did?
Ew.
What Sounds we right. did? I went there first, got the room under my name, slept for about 2 hours, took a shower, came back, handed the card to someone else. He went, slept for about 2 hours, took a shower, came back. In between, we're doing shifts, doing shows.
Survival training.
And handing the card off to different people through the night. Who's doing different shifts? I spent 2 to 2.5 hours in that room, and I didn't get reimbursed fully. I only got partially reimbursed.
If the company's going to reimburse you, if you're paying for it on your own dime, why do they care if you share it with 4 other people?
Because they were only paying for one room.
Oh, my gosh.
How many people are stuck there? 12? One room. Good luck.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore. That was the earlier regime.
You're right. They don't do it anymore because now you get nothing.
Yeah, they couldn't care less. Now, I remember in 21, the summer of 21, there were those 4 tropical storms that we got here. A crazy heavy rain. Was it Ike? Hurricane Ike.
I forget. I do know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Which was the one that it was fatal, obviously. There were 48 people that died in the area. There were more than 9,000 vehicles that were stranded in water on highways. So I had to drive in that night, and I was nervous. I mean, I have 4-wheel drive, and I have a small SUV, but I was nervous. I had to weave in and out of stranded vehicles in standing water, and so I was praying every time I had to drive through a huge puddle. I got here. I was able to do the show. Not one time did anyone from the company call or email or anything and say, hey, be careful, or would you like to work from home or anything like that? Nope. So at that point, I knew that the times of them taking care of us in crazy weather were over. That was the end of that.
I had to stay in the city for Sandy for 5 days.
That was right before the network.
Yeah, right before the network. And I was given a hotel. Hey, you can stay at a hotel. The hotel was about 50 blocks away.
Oh no!
With nothing operating.
Right.
So I was grateful that I had a nice, comfortable room with electricity, but
I suppose in Lower Manhattan, though, where our studios are located, there wasn't anything.
No,
we were on generators here at the time.
Oh my gosh!
That was you know why I know?
I came in here.
I came in to do my interview during Sandy.
Oh,
with
my
no
gosh.
power.
interview for the new network that was starting up.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Took 5 hours to get here. I made the interview by 10 minutes.
Wow. I actually did mine right before that and was able to get back to Connecticut, but
yeah, goodness. With people in the car who had to wait outside because you could only have three people minimum to get through
them.
The bridge.
Yeah.
Brother and sister. Turns out my sister was sick in the back seat. Didn't know why because she was pregnant and we didn't know yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a nice story. Okay, we're gonna get cut off by the computer if we don't. That was amazing. Okay, do we have time for knockout next, Pete?
We can do next hour.
Or do you want to do
next hour?
Okay, so we'll do MVPs. We'll do baseball MVPs then instead. At A-Law Radio, take our Game of the Week poll, also on our Facebook page, throwing it up now. Here's our latest sports update. It's so late. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
My lanes stand long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football. Use code football. Steelers rallied from 12 down in the fourth but needed one more miracle to try to avoid the upset in Cleveland.
This is the game from the 35. 6 seconds left. Browns up five. Defend this and beat the Steelers. Russell Wilson to throw. Back to throw. Has time. Hit as he throws. Ball up into the air towards the end zone. Knock it down. Jump ball. Incomplete. Browns win!
24-19 in the snow in Cleveland. Call courtesy of the Browns Radio Network. Nick Chubb ran for 59 yards, two touchdowns, including the go-ahead with 57 seconds left. Jameis Winston, 219 in the air, ran for a score. Russell Wilson threw for 270 and a touchdown. First loss as a Steelers quarterback as they're now 8-3, Browns 3-8. Meanwhile, it remains uncertain if Brock Purdy's going to be able to play for the 49ers against the Packers Sunday. Dealing with that shoulder injury, Brandon Allen would go if he can't. Giants, of course, made the move to bench their former first-round pick in Daniel Jones, who all but said goodbye as his days as a Giant are obviously numbered.
There have been some great times, but of course, we all wish there had been more of those. I take full responsibility for my part in not bringing more wins.
NBA wild ending in L.A.
Magic going to have a shot to tie or win it. Franz backs away. Now Redditch. Wagner, step back. Three ball is up. It's in! Franz stuck it! 119-118, 2.5 seconds on the clock. Timeout, Lakers.
Franz Wagner, your game winner, part of a 37-point night. Magic bounced the Lakers 119-118. Call courtesy of the Magic Radio Network. Rest your scores. The Spurs took out the Jazz 126-118. Harrison Barnes, 25 and 10 boards. Hornets outlast the Pistons 123-121 in overtime. And the Raptors down the T-Wolves 110-105. Paul George dealing with a bone bruise in his knee. He'll miss at least two games. Georgia Tech in college football scored with 22 seconds remaining. They upend NC State 30-29. College hoops, Tennessee overwhelmed Virginia 64-42. Baylor rallied from 18 down. Jeremy Roach, three at the buzzer and double OT. Shocked St. John's 99-98. Indiana raced UNC Greensboro 69-58. And Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, each unanimous MVPs in baseball. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
A 16 for his last 19 with runners in scoring position. That's where Smith is on second. The pitch is hit high in the air, right field, hooking toward the pole, and this ball is fair and gone. Shohei Ohtani unloads a three-run home run here in the top of the eighth inning. His second of the postseason makes it 7-0 L.A.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Dodgers Radio Network, Steven Nelson. And, of course, now the Dodgers are World Series champions, even though Shohei Ohtani was dealing with a torn rotator cuff. Remember, he got injured sliding into base in game one? Game two, maybe. He got injured sliding into base, into second base, trying to steal, but when it really wasn't necessary. But he was still able to bat the rest of the way. And then we find out he needed surgery. Now, I did see him on MLB Network after he was awarded another MVP. Now, this time it's with the Dodgers in the National League. So he has won the MVP award three of the last four seasons. Only the 12th player to win at least three MVP nods. And all of these most valuable player awards, these most valuable player honors, have been unanimous. How about that? All of his MVP votes have been unanimous in his favor. Wow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. First year with the Dodgers. Couldn't have gone a whole lot better.
I'm just representing the Dodgers. It was a complete team effort. I wouldn't have been able to receive this award if it weren't for my teammates. Obviously, if my teammates weren't there, we didn't play as a team, we would not have even got to the playoffs or won the World Series. So for me, again, I'm just taking this as I'm representing the team receiving this award.
So Shohei sitting next to his wife with some other friends in the background. That's his interpreter as he was interviewed on MLB Network. And then Aaron Judge ends up winning in the American League, also unanimous. And so this is kind of funny, the two of them now being in opposite leagues, whereas they were previously competing for the award in the same league, right? So we'll hear from Aaron Judge as we head into the second half of the show. But what Ohtani is doing now with the three MVPs, again, only 12 have ever done that in baseball history. Only the second player ever to win three MVP awards in his first seven seasons. The only other guy to do that, Stan Musial. Wowzers. I mean, we're talking about Hall of Fame, rarefied air here. And he led the National League in homers, RBI, as well as the 59 stolen bases. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.